That Naturopathic Podcast. TNP.
Hello there.
Hi, and thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Michelle Pulbega, naturopathic doctor.
And I'm Dr. David Miller, ND, and we hear your frustrations. This show is for you.
This show is for you if you're feeling like your current healthcare strategy is not getting to the root cause or the underlying reasons for your health.
This show is for you if you've been told that you're fine, but you definitely don't feel very well.
This show is for you if you're walking out of your doctor's office with 1, 2, 3, 4, or even 5 medications without any mention of diet, lifestyle, or a long-term game plan.
This show is for you if you've got several specialists taking care of you, but no one is really putting all the pieces together.
This show is for you if you believe that health should be part of healthcare. These problems have solutions.
We know it.
Our patients know it.
And we want you to know it.
Naturopathic medicine is the solution that you should know about.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of That Naturopathic Podcast. Dr. David Miller, ND here, going solo today. Going to talk to you today about constipation. And I'm just using constipation to sort of outline how I'd go about, looking at what's the cause of the constipation or the most likely cause of the constipation. And just to give you a kind of flavor of like good questions to ask yourself, the patient, or whomever we're talking about here, to try and find the most likely cause of what's going on with constipation. Because constipation is just a symptom. It's just not like, it doesn't tell you exactly what's going on. But before, like, just a little background context, I was going to do an episode on, how to sort of look at different gut symptoms, like all of them. And I was like, that's a bit overwhelming. So I thought I'd pick a starting point, which was constipation, because it's pretty common, use that as sort of a case-based approach to how we'd look at figuring out what's going on. Okay, so one of the first things, if you've got constipation or a patient of yours has constipation, well, one of the first things I'm going to be looking for is there any straining, right? Because constipation is a problem of the outlet sometimes. So like the anal rectal region is not able to, the pelvic floor is not able to coordinate its movements to expel the stool. So it can be, the source of the problem can be where the evidence of the problem is, and that's the case sometimes with straining, pelvic floor dysfunction, dyssynergic defecation, which is kind of when you're like pushing hard abdominally, but it's like paradoxically the anal rectal region contracts, and so you're pushing, but the anal rectal region won't let the stool out. So that's going to be more common if you've got chronic constipation, right? And straining, I'd say straining is one of the first things. I'm just going to check it off my list here. Straining is going to be one of the first things that I'm kind of looking for when it comes to like figuring out etiology of what's going on here. So if straining is part of the case, I'm going to probably refer to pelvic floor physio if there is one around you. Pelvic floor physio is great. They're really well trained. They're experts in this area. They'll do internal physical examination that's appropriate, because remember, we should have a physical exam. That's key too. Like a lot of this is not going to deal with, the physical examination part that I do like to, incorporate into a good evaluation, but it's important. So once you're pretty sure that straining or pelvic floor dysfunction or dyssynergic defecation are present, I think that's where you start. That's a good enough place to start, because if the outlet is blocked, then everything antecedent to that is going to be trying to accommodate. You might get things like, mega colon, where the colon just like stretches and grows and twists, tortuous mega colon. It twists and it gets big because it's trying to force things out. But if the outlet is blocked, then it's not gonna happen, and there's gonna be a lot of disorder before that in the GI system. But if it's chronic constipation, I'm saying that meaning differentiating it from like alternating constipation and diarrhea, or just alternating, constipation and regular stools. Chronic constipation with straining, get that pelvic floor assessed, and that's probably where we have to start. And again, we're not going into like a lot of the treatment here. It's more about like where do we think more the problem is. Okay. Another situation maybe with constipation is everything was fine for the longest time, and then the onset is clear. There was like a GI infection, or you traveled somewhere, some part of the world where you got sick, GI infection. That can be something that you know, okay, there's a line in the sand. Like before then I was fine, and after that, you know, I wasn't. So you can have post-infectious issues, and we've got a podcast episode on post-infectious IBS, so you can look to that for a little bit more information. But when there's an onset that's very clear, that's kind of helpful in terms of like just determining what's likely the source of the problem. And then remember, the source or cause of the problem informs your treatment. Another onset that can be clear too is like trauma or stress. If there's, you know, there's been like a major trauma or stressor that happened, mental, emotional, physical, what have you, and that's definitely, you know, the cause of what's happened, then the likelihood of your treatment strategy that doesn't incorporate some form of a mental, emotional component or trauma therapy, which is hard to treat, but I'll talk about that another time. I've got a interesting, very, very interesting kind of trauma-based therapy that I like to do called auricular chromotherapy. And I'm finding some success with it. Anyway, you need to know if there was like a sort of abrupt onset. That really helps. If there's blood in the stool, that's a red flag, guys. So, you know, if the stool comes out and there's like red or black, dark stool or blood, sorry, in the stool, or you've had an occult stool test and there's, you know, occult means hidden. So if there's some hidden blood in the stool, that's a red flag, guys. So that's got to be taken care of by our medical doctor, friends and specialists in that sort of conventional medicine zone. Red flag has to be taken care of. Another thing with maybe, I would say more likely chronic constipation is it can be a sign of hypothyroid. So, you know, if there's other signs and symptoms of thyroid dysfunction, you know, there's some weight gain, there's puffiness, you know, myxedema, there's like cold intolerance, you know, all the hair falling out, the sort of slightly, depressed energy or exhaustion, which can happen too. You got to think about thyroid contributing to constipation, but I'm going to sort of quickly go over that because, I'd say most people are pretty good about finding, like most naturopaths and patients often are good about getting their thyroid tested or assessed in some way. I'd say treatments are difficult, but at least you know what's going on sometimes with the thyroid, and it contributes to constipation cases. Remember, hyperthyroid can then contribute to diarrhea, but we're using constipation as a jump off point here. Another interesting thing to look for, or helpful thing to look for, is the timing in biological women with uteruses women. Let's just call them women for now, for the rest of this podcast here. Women and menstrual sort of cycles having an impact on constipation. So you may become more constipated, let's say in the premenstrual time, let's say within sometime in the luteal phase, maybe a week or a few days before menses come and bleeding comes. That could just be because of like anatomical proximity. You've got bladder, and then in the middle you've got uterus, and then posteriorly you've got the rectum, anal rectal region being compromised towards the end of the menstrual cycle by the most dynamic organ in that area in terms of like how big it gets or its variance in size, let's say. So if the menses relieve the constipation, then we have to think there could be more contributors to this. It's not just a gut issue. It might be a gynecological issue. There might be some sort of structural interplay between gynecological organs and tissues and and the rectum and colon itself. So keep that in mind too. In women, that's something to look for, is maybe it's another sort of like pelvic gynecological issue. When there's let's go back to where there's like maybe not as quick of an onset, maybe a slower onset with like constipation just sort of creeping in. You do have to think about neurological conditions of, for example, like Parkinson's and other sort of neurological conditions. But if those are probable causes, then there's going to be other signs of neurological dysfunction as well. And again, we're not going into treatments here for all different kinds of neurological conditions like Parkinson's, etc. But know that constipation can be a big part of Parkinson's and at the beginning in particular. Let's go to constipation now, where we don't just have constipation. We have constipation and some other symptoms, and let's say upper GI symptoms, more classically upper GI symptoms. Okay, so one of those symptoms that, because here's what we're trying to do. Oftentimes we're trying to pick the most reliable, the more obvious, important, simple to treat thing to try first, right? And anyone who knows, who treats people as naturopath or whatever kind of clinician, you're always looking for home run signs and symptoms, because things can often look very differently than the cause, and so if we've got something like a very straightforward symptom like swallowing dysphagia, issues with the throat and swallowing, and other signs of stomach dysfunction, then it would be reasonable to say, okay, no matter what the cause of the constipation may be, because causes can be proximal or very distal, right? They can be biochemical, they can be structural, they can be various different systems. But if you've got a home run sort of indication or like a pretty good idea of an indication to treat a certain organ or whatever, then treat that. That could be worth treating first. Because I'll tell you what I've noticed is that a lot of the motility of the stomach is, or of the gut, the whole gut, to be honest, the whole gut is related to stomach dysfunction. So if I see something like issues with swallowing, globus hystericus, you got like that feeling of something, you got a throat, you could clear the throat, like you do that all the time, then that can be indicative of a stomach dysfunction. And I would say the stomach, there's enough signs and symptoms of the stomach that if you have a couple even one or two pretty good signs and symptoms of stomach dysfunction, treat that and see what happens with the constipation if there's nothing more obvious as to what's going on to cause the constipation. Another one is the constipation, is it related to recent food intake? So I have had a history of constipation. I think a lot of people would say the same thing. They're like, I'm constipated, but I don't see like there's not an obvious chronological or time-based relationship to my constipation symptom and what I just ate within the last like hour or whatever. So that makes it sometimes difficult. But if you have known food triggers, in general, like you have a very sensitive stomach, and you are very limited in what you can eat. There's two different ways to look at known food triggers. Well, maybe more, but here's a couple of obvious or bigger ones. Are the food triggers, dose related macronutrient type of food triggers? So like, is it every time you have fats, you have a problem, and then you got to think about maybe liver, gallbladder, etc.? Or is it every time you have carbs, within maybe within a couple hours or later on in the day, there's all this fermentation going on, and you've got problems related, like definitely related to that, that you can really attribute to that food you had? Or maybe it's something like protein, like if you have a heavy protein meal, just feels like it's sitting there in the stomach, and that can be related to maybe insufficient stomach acid. So if you've got some of those more macro related, dose related, and they will be more dose related usually, or like if you have lactose intolerance, it takes like usually about a cup of milk to make you have a real lactose intolerance symptom, according to research. So, you know, if those things are more dose related, and you can usually attribute it to a macro fat, protein, or carb, then yeah, obviously take care of that first. There's other sort of food triggers, which are more like neuroimmune mediated, where the body's just reacting to a protein inappropriately or in a more spastic way. You know, so there's those people, I can't eat this, I can't eat that, I can't eat this, I can't eat that. It's like, that's more of a neuroimmune sensitivity. But if you've got tons of neuroimmune triggers and you have to, you know, run around to find the most, you know, tolerated food, it's like a job to find tolerated foods, you got a stomach issue too. So, and when I say stomach, I don't mean gut, I mean stomach proper, like the upper GI. So then in those cases, again, I would say focus some of your treatment on the stomach, and sometimes the colon will get in line, the rectum will get in line. You know, look at pains that you have too sometimes. So like pains that are peri-umbilical or around the umbilicus, your belly button, those are more related usually to small intestine. And then if you're looking at the small intestine, you can ask other questions like, is there a real sulfury, sewagey, like raw sewage in the summer smell, like just gross, foul. Look, stool is not, I don't think it ever smells like amazing. But when it's particularly foul and particularly abundant, you need to look at different things. And when it's particularly frequent or abundant, with bloating, I'm thinking about the stomach proper. And when it's more like, this is like nasty sewage on a warm day, just getting, just foul, sort of sulfuric, compounds, dominating the aromas, then I personally think it's going to be a little bit more related to small intestinal, dysbiosis going on. And arguably you can use, stomach-based interventions to help with the small intestine, because the output of the stomach is the input of the small intestine. Other pains, to maybe be aware of are when they're under the ribs. You know, if you're like, ooh, it feels tight under my rib, but it feels tight under my ribs, left to right. You got to be thinking about upper GI, contributing to that constipation too. And then sometimes that means some of your treatment, should include, upper GI considerations as well. I have seen some other links with, like, you know, hip, sacroiliac, or sort of pelvic area, low back pain. I'm going to think more there's a local problem, in the hind gut embryological origin tissues, which would be the last third of the colon, and the, you know, anorectal region, and then the pelvic structures there. Those are going to be more related, I think, or more indicative, let's say, of a more local problem, to the hindgut related structures, rather than maybe upper structures. So it's confusing, right? But, I hope this helps sort of map out the probability of where the problem's coming from. Cause look, you can also just be, the more you're stressed out, you can get constipation from just being stressed. And that's valid. You know, you have to look at that too. You know, the thing about traveling, when you go traveling, you know, you're stressed going from this plane to the next plane or whatever, that can really, bung up the bowel motility, cause we're in a more, you know, fight or flight. See how flight comes into that? That's some of the best puns happen by accident, I swear. Rather than rest and digest, you're in fight or flight. So yeah, pooping isn't going to be high on the priority when you're stressed. And then guys, you know, you need to have a physical exam. I said it a little bit at the beginning, but like, you need to have a physical exam. Just today, I mean, I was palpating. I didn't have much time at the end of the appointment, so we did a little bit of abdominal physical exam, and it was so clear with you know, if you got somewhat skilled hands and you prepare the patient for proper communication, that there is an issue in the liver gallbladder. It was so easy to figure out. So like just touching people's abdomen, even if it's not crazy skilled, man, you can figure out some of the more obvious stuff pretty damn easy. We gotta keep examining people's abdomen. Been able to go to the moon since the 1960s, but very few people know how to do an abdominal exam in 2024, and I just find that crazy. So I hope that helps everyone map out either their own sort of determination of where to focus their care or treatment with constipation. And I look forward to chatting with you again next week. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.